Columbia University Broadcast Studio. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today as we broadcast from our Southern Command, Memphis, Tennessee, from our studios at our flagship station, KWAM. Folks, it is great to have you with us today. A very special hello to all of our brand new affiliates across the great state of Nevada, listening to us on the Nevada Talk Network. Also, brand new stations joining us from the great state of Michigan. And folks, we have some more exciting news coming your way. Next week, we'll tell you about more stations that will be joining us from the great state of Texas. So all that to say, we're having a great time here, folks. A lot going on. Go ahead and write down our telephone number, toll-free number, 844-747-8868. Again, that is a toll-free number, 844-747-8868. Now, of course, the big story of the day, the Supreme Court ruling against the Trump administration in their efforts to end President Obama's DACA program. I want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Very honored to have a good friend of this program, a great American patriot himself, Congressman Mark Green. Congressman, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Todd, for having me on. It's a real honor to be on your show.
You know, Congressman, a lot of frustration on several levels with this decision. First, let's just talk about the ruling itself. I mean, this is President Obama doing something that under the United States Constitution had no authority to do. And yet it seems to me the Chief Justice here weighed in on what amounts to be basically a clerical or administrative error.
Yeah, it's pretty frustrating when the Supreme Court basically usurps the power of the legislative branch. And that's essentially what's happening. And it really began back in the 50s with the Warren Court, this idea of a living constitution that could be, you know, interpreted by what the justices think the Constitution says. And when you do that, when you empower them that way, they basically become a super legislative branch. They can basically say that any law that or any power that the legislative branch is pretty much undone by the Supreme Court. And here, you know, Congress has the power to write these laws, and only Congress. And the Supreme Court does not have the ability to empower the executive branch to come up with a law like this.
And yet, Congressman, that's exactly what happened here, which leads to my other concern, being the decision not just by Chief Justice Roberts today, but a few days ago, you had Neil Gorsuch citing against the White House, the president, on this issue of gender and deciding that sex now is defined as gender identity. You know, a lot of people out there cast their vote for this president because of his promise to put strict constitutionalists on the highest court in the land, and it appears that was not the case.
Yeah, these guys have got to. It's disappointing that they would, again, use their discretion and not interpret the Constitution as it's written. It was a legal document, and it, just as any legal document today is intended to be, it's about what is in the words. You can't second guess what was meant. I mean, that would be as if you and I entered into a sales transaction of a piece of property and we had a disagreement. The court would go back to, or is supposed to go back to, exactly what it says in the document and not try to guess at what our intents were, especially when it's hundreds of years removed. This whole notion that the court has the ability to do this is a fallacy, regardless of how you feel on the particular issue. This is bigger. It's a breach of the founding construction of our government with separation of powers. It's very frustrating and unbelievable.
I think what really concerns me, Congressman, going back to 2017, you know, I raised some concerns on this radio program about Gorsuch And we were promptly shot down, not just by the administration, but by religious liberty leaders who are close to the administration. And we were all told that we, you know, we had nothing to worry about. Gorsuch was the real deal. This was someone who had the backing of the Vice President Mike Pence. And here we are at the day of decision. We now know that Gorsuch may, in fact, have been a very bad pick. And, you know, I asked Tony Perkins from Family Research Council a very direct question the other day on this show, Congressman. I said, Tony, do we have a conservative majority on the Supreme Court? And he said, you know, he doesn't think so. Not anymore.
Well, it's very concerning. And I agree with your question of Tony, and I trust his opinion and agree with that opinion very clearly in these instances. These individuals have chosen to go with that sort of liberal interpretation that there's a living document out there, and that's tragic. Hopefully the president will get another pick, and he'll pick Amy Barrett, who I think would be phenomenal. But what it really speaks to is just how pervasive this idea that the justice can just assume for a second what the Constitution should have said. And that is so pervasive that these individuals that we thought were pretty conservative guys and were going to interpret the Constitution maybe like Scalia would in a strict constitutionalist, that hadn't happened. And so it's very concerning, makes you wonder about the rest of our judiciary.
All right. Well, Congressman, look, we're going to have to leave it there. We appreciate you coming onto the program, weighing in on the breaking news of the day. Congressman Mark Green. Congressman, thank you.
Thanks, Todd. Yes, sir.
All right. Good guy there. What a mess that is. By the way, I want to bring you an update on what's happening in Atlanta. And we were talking to a lot of sources, boots on the ground yesterday, as the blue flu began to sweep through the ranks. The Atlanta Police Foundation says today all of the city's police officers are going to get a $500 bonus. The bonuses are a way to thank officers for the long hours they've worked during recent months, including at various protests and rallies. The Atlanta Police Foundation, by the way, said these bonuses are supported through donations. Now, this is interesting because in Los Angeles, all of the police officers there who worked overtime and sometimes triple overtime dealing with these riots have been told they are not going to be paid for that. Instead, they're going to be given comp time. We're going to get into that with our good friend, Chet Hopper, host of The Real Resistance, one of the top radio shows in Memphis, Tennessee. Also, we're going to bring in a new addition to our program, and you're going to get to know her over the coming months. Grace Baker is going to be here. We're also going to get to your phone calls next. And here's a very pointed question. What do you think the police ought to do? Should the police walk off the job? Should they send all of these blue state governors and blue state mayors a very clear message? This is what happens when you don't have police. Or should the police just suck it up and get out there and try to do the job that that they've been told to do? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
America's only fair and balanced talk radio host, Todd Starnes.
Back to the Todd Stern's radio show. Great to have you with us today. And we have some special guests hanging out with us today as well. First, from The Real Resistance, Chet Hopper, a great show, a host with his wife, Sherry. And they're always stirring up trouble here in the Mid-South. Chet, good to have you back with us.
Man, you know what, Todd? I just appreciate you having me on the show, man. It's a great show, and I actually love being a part of it.
And Grace Baker, who will be the new call screener, Avery, as Avery takes over a lot of our digital duties. Grace Baker is here, who is a recent graduate of the University of Memphis. Grace, hello.
Hello, I'm excited to be here. Got some big shoes to fill with Lady A over there.
Whoa, Lady A. Okay. She just threw shade.
Wow.
I wanted to make that joke the other day, but I wouldn't hear, so I had to I had to catch up.
I enjoy the joke, though, Grace. I enjoy it.
Thanks.
We need a we needed some a lady, you know, on the show anyway. I mean, it's too like too guy oriented.
I totally agree. I mean, you got to bring in that lady's perspective sometimes.
Unless Avery disagrees with that, but
no,
I thought he would weigh in here.
Yeah, I was waiting.
I mean, it's just misogynist when you have a bunch of men talking about Mrs. Butterworth. You got to get the...
Yeah, I agree with
you. Got to make sure y'all aren't body shaming over here or anything.
Yeah, so that was... So I didn't realize this, Grace, but the problem was it was more about body shaming than race. Is that right?
I mean, if they made it like a little... Barbie girl, then it would be body shaming. They just can't win here. They just need to not call, and you know, calling it Lady Mrs. Butterworth, gender, why assume it's a girl?
We never did ask her pronouns.
You gotta make sure.
Assumed. Could have been a dude in a dress. Oh, Grandpa Butterworth.
Grandpa's kind of creepy.
Why is Grandpa wearing the pantaloons? Are we allowed to say that on the radio?
Sure.
I guess we are. All right. You know what? Let's go to the phones here. I don't think we've ever done this where we've had a caller hang out with all of us together. But let's go to Earl in Richmond, Virginia. Hi, Earl. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for picking my call.
Glad to do it. What's on your mind today, Earl?
Well, people are always talking about race. Black and white. Black is the color of the words in my Bible, except for Jesus' letters. That is the background. Special skin all flesh is segmentation. So there's no black and there's no white. And I tell people, they look at me funny, but it's true. That's right.
You know what, guys? I think we got Earl's point, but we've got a bad signal. So, Earl, thanks for the call, and sorry about that signal. But Earl was basically saying there is no black or white, you know, that we're all part of the human race. You know, I agree with that. I agree with the concept. Yes, there are races. There's blacks, whites, Hispanics, Asians. Look, I get it. But the fact of the matter is we have a lot of people in society, a lot of bad actors in Hollywood, in the mainstream media, within political parties. And Chet Hopper, I think there is an effort afoot to intentionally divide the country right now.
Absolutely. You know, I made the comment the other day on the show. I was like, if you're out and about and you see someone that's of a different race, if you do the Southern thing, you know, where you're even if you're driving and you just put up that one finger wave, they wave back. The media wants us to think for some reason that everybody is just always out there snapping at each other in a parking like a big episode of West Side Story. But it's not the case. If you see somebody of another race walking past them in the grocery aisle and you go, hey, how you doing, neighbor? They'll raise their hand and say hello. We don't hate each other as much as they want you to think we do. Their intent and purpose behind that, I'm not sure what it is, other than a divided people are easier to control and they don't want us coming together. That's my best guess on the issue, but I just feel like it's amped up all the time in the news and it's not really what happens in day-to-day life.
Yeah, good point. Earl, thanks for the call. Let's go to Little Rock, Arkansas. Richard listening to us on KARN. Richard, you're on the air with Chet Hopper and Grace Baker and yours truly. How's it going today?
Yeah, Todd, thanks. Love your show. I want to, first off, just out of curiosity, how did Kavanaugh vote on that?
Kavanaugh voted with the conservatives on the DACA thing.
Well, good. Glad to hear that. Listen, what I wanted to call you about, I have emailed every the president of the United States, every one of his cabinet members, all the representatives, all six representatives from the state of Arkansas. I understand everybody's busy and they get thousands of phone calls. Of emails and stuff, but I've been through the entire Fox lineup of personalities, every radio program, everything else, talking. The subject is defunding police, okay, or disbanding police departments. And I've been praying for someone so that I can tell them, of all those people, I haven't heard anyone mention this, and that is to tell you why. It's absolutely impossible to disband a city police department.
All right, so why is it impossible to defund a police department?
It can't be done, and the reason it can't be done is because then the cities wouldn't be able to get insurance. It's that simple. I took political science in college.
Well, look, I don't think at the end of the day, that they're going to be able to defund the police. I think you're going to have hopefully right-minded people stepping in and making those decisions otherwise. Because if we, you know, I can see where it would be impossible to get insurance because, again, without police, you're going to have anarchy. And we have certainly seen that in places like Minneapolis, where the police were told to stand down. And up until just a few moments ago in Portland, when the nation of Chaz was finally invaded by the Portland Police Department, and they're laying down the hammer. So I get your point there. But again, and thank you for the call. But again, Chet, I just don't see this working, you know, defunding police, dismantling police departments.
There's no way you can do it. And the biggest question to me over this whole thing is I've watched all the clips of all the videos, and I'm always wondering why it is that the police need new training and they need new sensitivity training, but the criminals don't need to change anything they're doing. I've never seen a person or an officer of any color in any race anywhere walk up to somebody and just shoot them. I've never seen it. To my knowledge, it doesn't happen. During an arrest, if you're cordial for 20 minutes, and then you try to break away and you hit the cop or you take his weapon or you try to run over him and they shoot you, why do you get a pass? I don't understand this for the life of me, because if you come into anybody else, if you worked at Wendy's and somebody come up and they said, yes, I would like a Wendy's single, and they tell you, why ain't putting no cheese on it, blah, 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 and they get in your face, any normal person would be like, oh, I'm not taking this. But you want the police officers to take it, and even up to threatening their life, like they don't have family and friends that they want to go home to. I don't understand why it's always the police that need to correct the behavior. How about just stop being a criminal? It's not that difficult.
You know, the other big issue I have here, guys, and we talked about this yesterday with Ben Ferguson on this radio program. There is a mega church in Memphis, Tennessee, Hope Church. And Grace Baker, I know you wrote about this on the website. This mega church had the entire congregation going through a Bible study that compared Fox News Channel viewers to Islamic radical terrorists. This is Hope Church is the name of the congregation here. This Bible study also suggested that people have been radicalized by watching Fox. It encouraged people to give money to Black Lives Matter, and it also encouraged the legalization of marijuana. And I'm wondering if maybe even a bigger issue is we've seen radicalization in the church pulpits around this country.
Yeah, and to piggyback off of Chet's point, you know, it's just another effort, I feel like, to divide our country. And so he shared that article, and, you know, the Hope Church in Memphis is one of the biggest churches in the area. There's thousands of members there, and I personally believe that most of the members there do not agree with what he sent out. And, you know, he sent out a very half-hearted apology later, basically saying, I'm sorry if you were offended by this article, but I thought that our congregation would be mature enough, but I think that's just absolutely ridiculous.
And again, it's just an issue that it's almost the perfect storm. And we've got to take a break here. We're going to talk about this coming up after the bottom of the hour news. But something is happening in this country. The culture is changing. And again, folks, I think this goes back to the fundamental transformation that Barack Obama promised us. So look, if you'd like to weigh in on this, open lines coming up. Chet Hopper here, Grace Baker, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. Screener Avery, you know, I told you after the show I was going to go and get some of the hot chicken.
Oh, yeah.
It was very delicious.
Good.
I went over to, there's this place, and by the way, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Great to have you with us today. Grace Baker in studio, our soon-to-be new call screener for this show, and Chet Hopper, host of The Real Resistance, a great weekend talk radio show. And they're always stirring stuff up there. So hot chicken. You know, this is interesting, Chet. I grew up in the South, born and raised. I had never heard of hot chicken until a few years ago when it became a thing. And so I was talking to somebody. Last year I was on Huckabee's show and they taped there at the old Twitty City in Nashville. And we were having a conversation about this backstage. that this is not some sort of a Southern food tradition. This is a brand new food item,
right,
from the South.
Right. Now you hear sauces, they call it Nashville hot. Like Nashville invented hot chicken, and I was like, I don't ever remember having hot chicken. I remember my grandmother frying chicken, but I don't ever remember it being hot.
Yeah, Grace Baker, you're a daughter of the South. Did you guys have the hot chicken when you were growing up?
Nope, and I've never been to Hattie B's, but I have had Gus's. That's not hot chicken. I'm just used to fried chicken.
Now, I do enjoy Gus's, but I have to tell you, I like the crust. I like a chicken. Again, if you don't eat the... remember years ago, Mitt Romney, back on the campaign trail, he was trying to establish his Southern street cred. So he went down South. They gave him a big old plate of fried chicken. And you know what the guy did? He took the skin off and discarded the fried chicken skin.
That's sacrilegious.
Yes. I mean, what's the point? So Governor Mike Huckabee, I'll never forget this. Governor Huckabee actually called a press conference. And the only thing he talked about at this press conference was the proper way to eat fried chicken as a Southerner. It was a brilliant moment in American political history.
I think it was well played. And if anybody needs any help, you can bring me your chicken and I'll try it for you and show you the correct way to eat it because I'm a big chicken fan.
So anyway, Avery, I was doing the fried chicken thing down at Hattie B's, and you get up in line, and you have to make a decision how hot you want this.
Oh yes.
Oh yeah. What did you go with?
So the burn notice, where I guess you have to literally sign some sort of a waiver. It's called shut the clock up.
Yep.
And have you had this?
Yes, sir.
Wait. You've had?
Oh yes. I love hot stuff. Like everything, everywhere I go to eat, I'll get the hottest hot wings just to see if I can eat it. And the Hattie B's shut the cluck up is no joke. Don't, unless you are well prepared, try to order that, pay for it, and then eat it because it is absolutely hot.
Did you shut the cluck up?
Yeah, for a minute. The only sound you could hear was I had a swollen mouth mumble asking for milk for a minute because it was that hot.
Oh, like, my gosh.
We have people at work that we ordered it and did it as a joke, and one guy almost ended up actually going to the hospital because of the swelling in his jaws and in his mouth for eating these hot wings.
Oh, my word.
They were that hot.
Were there tears?
Oh, yes. Everybody's tears. My forehead was crying for sure because I was sweating like a beast in there. You know, you're just fanning and trying not to throw up because, you know, that's going to suck too. So you're just doing all you can to maintain. That is very, very hot.
You know, the problem is I was trying to understand this, guys, but apparently it's the hot sauce and the spices are in the grease.
Yes.
And so when you eat the chicken, that grease just coats your throat.
What's crazy
is all the way down.
At Hattie B's, when they bring it out, the shut the cluck up chicken strips is what I got, were the color of something you would see coming out of a semi's exhaust. They're not red. They're already death black when you get them because of how dark the seasoning is. And you just, when you smell it, it singes your feet hair. Like it's hot from the smell. You can just tell it's going to be woo, when you get it.
All I can say to that is just, ow.
Yeah, all that, it was, anyway, it was a great, I got the medium.
Yeah.
So I chickened out, got the medium. But the only reason why is I didn't have a fill-in host for today, and I wasn't sure I could feel my lips. So I took one for the team, so.
Maybe we should do a round table one day with different flavors of chicken, and we can judge them.
So call screener Avery, we're bringing him over here for when we officially launch the show from Memphis. And what we may do is just have the hot chicken in the studio, and we can all try it on the air together.
There we go. I'm down.
All I ask is you don't kill me.
All right. No promises.
We'll make you sign a waiver.
Yeah,
okay.
It's just got to be good radio. That's all.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. We're going to the great state of Missouri. Brandel joins us, our correspondent out on the farm. Hi, Brandel. What's happening on the farm today?
It's hay season on the farm, so everybody's out on tractors baling hay and all that fun stuff.
Brandel, that's not fun. I've baled hay before. That's hard work. That's what that
is.
Hard work.
It's kind of a special time. I know that sounds weird, but farmers get it. It's just a special time with your family. Our farm's been in the family for many generations, and it's pretty cool to see the process.
Brandel, I know that you wanted to weigh in on this story Grace Baker wrote about Hope Church in Memphis. putting out this Bible study and saying that sharing this this article that suggested Fox News viewers are radicalized and they're just like the Islamic radicals. Go ahead, Brandon.
Well, I tell you what, when we see our society breaking down, we get it because we know they don't have Christ in their lives. But here's why I think we're in a real big mess, Todd, is because we're seeing the breakdown of the church. The word of God is watered down. And I think we have a real, real big problem. And I, not to be a Debbie Downer, but I just don't, I don't know. I think God may be, maybe done with this nation, and I couldn't blame him. We have turned our backs on him.
You know that, you know, Brandel, I hear what you're saying, but I do, you know, I still have hope. You know, I believe that.
Well, our hope,
you know,
lies in Christ, not in this world.
Well, and I believe we can turn it around, but I think it's going to take a lot of work. And I think for a lot of people, this has been fairly eye-opening how quickly things can, you know, get out of control. Just a few moments ago, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, announced that she is removing the portraits of any House Speaker who left to go fight for the Confederacy. So they're literally removing portraits from the Capitol building. And look, for me, it's not a surprise. I wrote an entire book about this, and we predicted this was going to happen back in October when Culture Jihad came out. But for the average rank and file American, folks are busy doing other stuff, and they haven't been paying attention to what's been happening in their country. But I don't be discouraged. I think it's okay to be alarmed. I think it's okay to be concerned. But we got to get up there, and we got to stand up and fight this.
Yeah, and you know I've said it before, Todd. I tell you what. If this doesn't open up parents and grandparents' eyes to get your children out of the public school system, do not send them to the university. We have got to start educating our children on our own and quit relying on the government to do it. That's where the problem lies, is the school system. I am convinced 100% that's the problem.
And Grace Baker, to that point, you went to the University of Memphis, but you were homeschooled before that. Is that right?
Yes, I was homeschooled all the way, mainly just because the school systems in Shelby County just aren't that great, the public school systems. And to go to a private school, it costs a small fortune. So my mom just said, I'm going to do this myself. And I felt fully prepared to go into, you know, the college system. I felt like I had more self-discipline than a lot of public schoolers did. And I felt like I was more firm in my beliefs going into school. So when the liberals came at me with their opinions, I was ready.
And Chet Hocker, I know your wife, Sherry, who is she getting her doctorate from Liberty University?
She has her doctorate? One paper away. So this year she will have her doctorate from Liberty. She has her bachelor's and her master's degree from the University of Memphis, and I have my degree from University of Memphis, so we all went there.
And she teaches at a Christian school here in, so again, if homeschooling is not an option, Christian schooling, that's a very good, you know, number two option.
Right, yeah, but Grace is correct. The only reason we were able to afford it is because my wife worked there, so we got a price break. Had we had to pay full price, they would have been camped out at the house at the home computer, because it's true, the indoctrination that happens in public school now, it's hard to overcome, because once a child thinks they know more than you, try telling a three-year-old they don't need Kool-Aid. They'll fight all day with you, right? So once you get to be a teenager and you think you're grown and you think you've got a bunch of answers because they were given to you, it's hard to change your mind at that point. You literally have to be reared in the right direction.
All right, Brandel, thanks for the call. Good conversation. By the way, speaking of pickles, have you ever had a Kool-Aid pickle?
I've never had a Kool-Aid pickle.
All right, why is it I'm the only person in the Mid-South who knows about this Mid-South food tradition?
I don't know. It may be the bagels talking back from New York, Todd. I've never
thinking.
Heard of a Kool-Aid pickle.
That may have been. I don't know. All right, Google it, folks. Kool-Aid pickles. We got to take a break. Open lines this afternoon. If you want to talk about some of the big stories of the day, you want to talk about hot chicken, Kool-Aid pickles, 844-747-8868. Toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. In the studio with us, our good friend Chet Hopper from The Real Resistance, and also Grace Baker, our soon-to-be new call screener for the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Okay, I guess we better we've got to clear this up here. So, call screener Avery is not leaving the show. He's getting a promotion on the show.
Yes, I'm not leaving. I'm staying here. I couldn't leave this job even if I wanted to because I don't want to. But yeah, I'm not going anywhere, people.
So don't send Grace hate mail. That's
yeah, please no.
You know what it is, Avery? This, for some reason, you're like the lovable part of the Todd. You're like the teddy bear of the Todd Stearns radio show.
Yeah, apparently,
you
know,
so
I'm
people
likeable.
Love you. Yeah, you're likable. And so remember, this backfired. This is the second time this has backfired. Remember when we tried to convince everybody you had the coronavirus?
Yeah, because that was right at the beginning when this was all happening, too. So it was more of a joke then.
That was funny.
The best thing about call screener Avery is that's what everybody who calls refers to him as when they speak to him. It's never just Avery. Like,
no.
That's his title. When they go, yeah, I was talking and I phoned in and call screener Avery. Like, they got to make sure they get the full title in there when they speak about him on the radio.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is that what your badge says? You wear, like, the name tag.
Oh, yeah, I've got
it. It's like call screen.
Like, on my desk, too, I've got, like, a little plaque that says call screener Avery on it.
Brilliant. Chet Hopper, ladies and gentlemen, from The Real Resistance here with us. Grace Baker, our soon-to-be call screener on the program. A couple of big stories out there, guys. The New York City Police Department, there are some flyers being passed around encouraging the NYPD to go on strike on Independence Day, July 4th. And, you know, there's this blue flu, Chet, and I know that you work for 911, so, you know, you're very close to the law enforcement community. This is a big deal. I mean, police officers are rightfully pretty angry and upset out there.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's a not too terribly recent, but in the 1970s, there was a strike here in Memphis between the police and fire department. And they ended up, a lot of things got damaged and a lot of reputations got irreparably damaged. And it was bad for the citizens. It was bad for the police officers. It was bad for the fire department. It's not a good look, but sometimes you have to force that hand. I mean, in order for you to suit up every day and go risk your life for people who the first thing they tell you is they hate you when you get where you're going, and then no one has your back when you're trying out there to preserve life and property, there comes a point where everyone has a breaking point.
You know, a couple of days ago, there was an active shooter at a mall in Dallas, Texas. Fortunately, only one person got, you know, had minor injuries. But I was watching that scene unfold on Twitter. And what was it? Everybody was calling. Who were they calling?
Right, the police.
They were calling the police. They were calling 911.
My favorite clip right now is there were some protesters out in front of a store. And this was in, I think, in California. And they're out in front of the store. The owner's trying to get them to move. And they won't. So he goes to his truck. And they're out there with the defund the police signs. He gets a chainsaw out of his truck, cranks the chainsaw. And the woman running by goes, call 911. And she's running out of frame. And I'm like, what? To do what?
Yeah,
you're out there defunding them. What do you want them to come do?
Call Black Lives Matter.
Right. Give them a shout.
Let them take care of the problem. And Grace, you know, as a college, recent college graduate, I know that you were a very active part of Young America's Foundation. What are the attitudes toward the police on, you know, the average public university campus?
Well, you know, University of Memphis itself is what I call a quiet political campus. You know, the students really don't talk about politics a ton. The local newspaper there is super liberal, but most of your average student really didn't like to talk about it. It was very hush-hush. But, you know, when we hosted YAF events, we did get some hate flyers. We did get some notes. Nothing too crazy, but, you know, people don't really talk about the police around there. They really don't.
You know, and I think in a way, Chet Hopper, you know, a lot of conservatives, at least I've noticed here in this part of the country, which is controlled by Democrats, people are afraid. Conservatives are afraid to speak out.
Oh, absolutely.
They're afraid of getting the blowback.
Well, here it's strange because Tennessee is such a right to work state that when you do voice an opinion that it's not popular, they can cost you your career, your livelihood, your health insurance. I mean, everything that you've kind of worked for over something that you're not out there chanting and raging against the machine over, but that you just might state that you disagree with. It's a hard spot to be in sometimes for conservatives.
By the way, guys, Dr. Fauci, back at it again, now says football may not happen this year.
Yeah, okay. Sure. We'll see about that.
You know what? As long as they don't cancel college football, I'm okay. If the NFL goes away, I'm kind of good with that.
Yeah, I'm fine with that too.
They're driving me nuts. I watch football to watch football. I can get enough political craziness throughout the week doing any other thing. If I'm at football, I want to watch football.
Well, look, I'm just going to go on the record here. If the government comes in and says, you're not going to be able to have college football, I think the southern states may try to secede again.
Indeed.
I think so. Maybe the Midwest, too.
Man, the Alabama, or all the SEC fans, it doesn't matter. Just Alabama, but any SEC fan, that'd be like trying to shut down St. Louis and the people who drink Bud Light to go crazy. You can't shut that down.
No. And in that effort, we would actually stand shoulder to shoulder with our friends at the University of Georgia.
Even the dogs, really? We're going to do that?
I don't know.
Yeah. Stunned silence.
Yep.
Yeah, what was it? Grace Baker loves to talk about these chirping crickets with face masks.
Yeah, that's crickets in the back of the studio. Can't hear them because I got masks on. Thanks to Tammy Sawyer. If you're from Memphis, you know.
Well, look, so all that to say, they're playing politics with everything.
Right.
That is a dangerous thing because people do not have an escape valve. They don't have that one thing they can do to sit down and just escape and relax. Grace.
Yeah, for a while I've been saying it's frustrating to see I feel like the reporters egg on the athletes with the politics. Their questions are geared to get them to talk about that. And I've said for a long time, when I follow people for sports, I just want to listen about sports because I hear enough about politics. We have enough politicians. We have enough commentators.
Chet Hopper, what's coming up this weekend on The Real Resistance?
This weekend on The Real Resistance, we're going to have a big show. Our show actually got started talking about law enforcement and public servants. So we're going to talk about the role of law enforcement and the changes to come and what the new normal, as everybody keeps calling it, is probably going to look like. It's a city council week, so we're going to talk about local city council news here in Memphis. It's going to be a good show.
And tomorrow on this program, folks, we have a reporter, boots on the ground in Tulsa, Oklahoma. President Trump's huge, huge rally is going to happen on Saturday, and we'll be providing live coverage here on the Mighty 990 of that big event as well. But on Friday, we will be talking to Jennifer Kearns. She is already in Tulsa. She is a resident of the state, moved back from New York City, one of the refugees. Hey, folks, that music means we've got to scoot out of here. Been a great day. Chet, great to have you with us. Grace Baker. Avery and our good friend Bill Main manning the board today. Folks, we got to wrap it up. ToddStearns.com, the website. Get out there. Have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow.